Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the perfect ministry of the Holy Spirit today. I decrease that he may increase so that he may do what you sent him here to do. And so, Father, I thank you for a perfect articulation of the word. Compassion of Jesus flows from my heart. I thank you that every spiritual need in this place will be met today. It's our desire, Father, to know you more perfectly, that we may serve you more faithfully. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you would even take this situation, this day, this difficult time, and glorify yourself, so that even this time will be a light in a dark world. So we thank you, Father, and we call it done now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, ushers, are you all ready? Are you still bringing people in? I just need to know. Somebody need to communicate with me. We're ready. Amen. My eulogistic comments will be in the flow of my message. And in Psalms 34, verse 19, there's a simple passage there that says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So the Bible lets us know that in this world we face pain. And so our lesson today will be, our subject today will be, lessons we learn from pain. Lessons we learn from pain. The Bible is clear that in this life we all face pain. We don't want to face it, but the Bible says even the righteous, many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. So it means that even though the righteous encounter pain, God's commitment to us is that he helps us through our pain. So we have four simple points that's going to guide our thinking. First point is the reality of pain. Second point is the revelation from pain. Third point will be response to pain. And then the final point is the remedy for my pain. So let's first talk about the reality of pain. We see pain all around us. A few months ago, when the tsunami hit, you looked at television and you saw the pain that destruction causes. Then, of course, if you visit the hospitals, you walk down the hospital wards and you see the pain that disease causes. And then, if you live any length of time, you have the pain of disappointment. When you had an expectation that wasn't fulfilled, it causes pain. And then, fourthly, there's the pain when a loved one dies. Someone you love, someone you care for, when it's unexpected, or even if they go through a terminal illness, there's always this emptiness, this deep-seated, gut-wrenching pain. But see, God knew that we would have pain. And so the Bible lets us know about pain. It lets us know how to deal with pain. And just for a few moments, that's all I want to talk about, how we're going to deal with this pain. Because it hurts us today for Coco to be here. Church family hurts. Her friends hurt. I watched them as they filed around the casket to look at the remains. Family hurts. It's a painful situation. Nothing pleasant at all about it. And really, we don't even like to deal with the death thing. We like to kind of keep the death thing out of our minds because it's easier to go through life if we don't have to think about death. But it's time like these that we have to focus on death because it's a part of our existence here in the earth. So the reality of pain is that if you live long enough, you're going to face some disappointments. If you live long enough, you're going to see destruction. If you live long enough, you'll see somebody who's handling a disease, or you may be facing a disease yourself. If you live long enough, someone you love will pass away. So if pain is inescapable, I can't get around it. And since avoiding it is impossible, maybe there's some instruction I can get from pain. Have you ever just kind of been going along in life and then all of a sudden a pain hits you? And it made you stop because I have to, when I have pain, there's revelation because I got to stop and wonder why am I hurting? So let's deal with point number two, and that is revelations from pain. In the Bible, the Bible shows us that many people came into incredible revelations when they had pain. The prodigal son was in the hog pit, and the pain of being where he was, knowing where he could be, brought him, the Bible says, he came to his right mind. The Bible also speaks of a guy who died, a rich man who died, and he was in hell, and he was in torment in hell, and the Bible says that pain caused him to be conscious about his brothers, and he said to the father Abraham, would you just please let the poor man Lazarus dip his finger in some water, cool my tongue, and then can he just go back and tell him, my brothers don't come this way? There's always something we can learn when we examine the pain. So pain brings us, or it provides for us, counsel for planning. Now look around, got a lot of young people in the house. That's good. That's why I didn't want y'all in the overflow. Because y'all my people. Y'all look at Pastor. And, you know, people look at me, you know, and I got the flash and all that kind of stuff. But the reason I am is because God called me to my people. I got a ghetto flavor about me. You're going to listen to me because I know where you are. I know where you come from. So pain brings me to a place where I have to consider counsel. Because when I'm in pain, it causes me to think maybe I need to change my perspective. Okay, now here's what I mean by that, changing my perspective. You see, if you don't plan life properly, people will tell you things that are not so. And only when you finish pain are you forced to step back and look at it a second time. Because let me tell you, Coco never thought she's going to end up here. So it makes you change your perspective. There are things folk don't tell you. That in a painful moment, you sit back and go, maybe there is another way. You got to plan for your future, and you got to consider painful moments like these, and you have to learn from painful moments like these and change your perspective, because everybody don't tell you the truth. They tell you just enough to get you hooked into what they want you to do. They tell you just enough to control and manipulate your life. They tell you just enough to put you on their strength. But when you see situations that don't turn out like folk thought would turn out, you have to go, So pain forces me to change my perspective. It forces me to reconsider my way. Forces me to reconsider what I'm doing, because pain provides the opportunity for change. Because when I'm in pain, I don't want to feel that pain anymore. So I start thinking about, now what can I do so I can avoid this pain? Then once I find out what I have to do, I have to have the courage to persevere. I got to have the courage to do what I need to do. Amen. Now let's move on now, because I want to minister to the families. If a memorial service is never for the person who passed away, because really what I say right now, you know, it can't determine Coco's destiny. Coco got taught the word here. Got it? She made her choices. We want to believe where Coco is, but we don't. We can't make that determination. But the rest of you all here, you got the opportunity to determine. Just you have the opportunity to determine what kind of life you're gonna live. Now, you know, you may want to say, well, you just saying that because you're an old preacher. No, I grew up in the hood. I grew up in Fifth Ward. And I lived for God as a young person. Started preaching when I was 9. Got called to preach at 9. Preached my first sermon at 10. And I grew up in the Lord. So don't tell me it ain't possible. And God makes a promise. The promise is that if you will obey and serve Him. Now I'm gonna ask my old folk to kind of quiet down just a little bit. I'm gonna give y'all a little something to shout on right in just a minute. But right now, I just want to talk to my young people. Can I do that? And sometimes y'all get so excited, y'all overpower and they can't hear. The Bible says if you'll obey and serve Him, you'll spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasure. Don't let anybody tell you that God sells you short. I'm an example that if you do it right and if you'll serve God right, He will bless you. And I think that's a message that we don't hear, that our young people don't hear. They hear religion and they don't hear relationship. That if you live your life for God, you'll live a fulfilled life. Life where you never have to look over your shoulder. Life where you can enjoy the blessings of God. So let's learn a lesson today. And let's have the courage to do what we need to do. Now, let me turn to the family, because I want to finish this with the family. And death is always something we don't like to look at. But death is easy to understand. The Bible says God made us as tripartite beings. That's three part of us, body, soul, and spirit. We are spirit beings. We live on the inside of a body, and we have a soul. My soul makes me the unique person that I am. It's kind of like a hand inside of a glove, this relationship between spirit and body, that if you put a hand in a glove and move the hand, the glove has the appearance of life and mobility. You remove your hand from the glove, it falls lifelessly to the ground. So is the relationship with the spirit and the body. See, you are really a spirit being living in this earth house called a body. And physical death takes place when this body is no longer able to sustain life. But it's not the end of your existence. You are going to exist beyond this physical state. And don't let anybody tell you that beyond this physical state won't matter. You know, people say, well, you know, what's going to happen beyond the grave? There is consciousness beyond the grave. There is awareness beyond the grave. Jesus tells a story of two men who died. One went to heaven and one went to hell. And the Bible says that in hell, the man was tormented. So now, I know you say, well, those preachers go trying to scare you. No, I'm not trying to scare you with hell. But hell is a real place. Don't let anybody tell you it's a party in hell. We're going to light up and we're just going to party. No. That ain't true. They have no reference for making a statement like that. But the God who made the universe, who had the Bible written, he has the right to call the shots. And until you make a world, you have no right to question God. And he says that there is a destination beyond this earth. And you have a choice right now. You can choose your destination. Now, what's going to be my response to pain? What's your response to pain? Number one, when I'm in pain, I can curse it. I can become bitter. And you can get mad with God. Why did God do this to Coco? Well, God didn't do that. Number two, you can nurse it. You can live the rest of your time blaming others for your state. Or you can choose to reverse it. You can choose to take a moment of pain, learn from it, and chart a better course in life. So when I'm in pain, if I'm going to respond properly, number one, I never blame God. God does not kill his children. I know you may have been to funerals where they say the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. But the Bible shows us that everybody God ever took, he took them alive. Now, God receives his children into his presence, but he does not kill his children. And his mercy endureth forever. That's why it would be improper. Somebody asked me, what happened to Coco? What happened? All I say is his mercy endureth forever. And in my heart, I hold to the fact that she got taught the word here at this church. And whenever we make bad choices, God doesn't give us up. There are consequences for our choices, but he doesn't give us up. But you don't have to take a risk with your life. One question comes up: how do I intelligently prepare for situations I can't control? For instance, death. Well, you could say, I'm gonna just live my life the way I want to. Smoke up what I want to smoke up, drink up what I want to drink up, live it up, and then when I, in my dying breath, I'm gonna cry out to God. That's not intelligent. Because you don't know if you'll have the presence of mind to do so. So the thing to do is to choose now to give your heart to God, learn how to have an abundant life God's way, and then you'll be ready when it's time to die. So, pain is real. I can learn from my pain, revelation. How I respond to pain is up to me. And if you're wise, you respond the right way. You do what you need to do so you don't ever have that pain again. So let me close. And I told you I wasn't going to hold you long. I'm going to close and talk to the family now about God's remedy for pain. Nobody likes to sit where you're sitting. And God's remedy for pain is found in his word, that we trust him. You don't ever blame God, and you don't blame yourself. When I talked with her mother, I said to her, you know, the unrighteous choices our children make is not a reflection on our commitment to righteousness. So how can you say that? Because God was the best father around, and Adam and Eve messed up. So you can't let the devil put guilt, shame, and grief on you as a result of this. Because the Bible says Jesus has already borne our griefs and he's already carried our sorrows. So since he's done that, we don't have to do it. So you have to choose to trust God even in difficult times. I've taught you faith. And our faith helps us through difficult times. And so the remedy for pain is learning to trust God in difficult times. You trust him to comfort you, because even though the place is filled today, you're going to go home and you'll be by yourself, seemingly. But he promises, God promises never to leave us and never to forsake us. So he has a way of comforting us underneath the skin when nobody's around. Secondly, you trust him for wisdom in the coming days, to make decisions in the coming days. Paul faced a situation once where he didn't want to be in, but he said, I know I'm going to make it. And he says, I'm going to make it because I know somebody's praying for me. And when you look around, you see a lot of church members here, because they're praying for you through this difficult time. Because we know prayer helps see us through. Secondly, Paul says, I'm going to make it because the Holy Spirit is committed to me. And the Holy Spirit is keeping you. He has a way of keeping us, encouraging us. And then finally, Paul says, I'm going to make it because of my expectation. He says, my faith is going to see me through. Closing with this, David writes concerning pain. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Key thing, he says there, is that he gets through it. It's hard to see your way through, but you're going to get through this. He says how he gets through. He says, I walk through. So this is not a situation that you run through. You take it every day at a time, one step at a time, and eventually you get through. So David says, my course is set, I'm going through it. And he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. He says, look, there's no reason for me to be alarmed. And here's why you don't need to be alarmed. Because what really matters has not changed. And what really matters is that God is committed to you. What really matters is that your faith still works. What really matters is that God still loves you. So he says, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. And that is, God walks with you, even through difficult times, to see you through. And so, we can learn some lessons from this painful situation. Young people, you need to learn. Life is not like it is on television. This is a real world. There's real pain. Real people die. Consequences to choices. And so you can choose to take the example of the righteous. Now, if you notice, I didn't condemn anybody. Because even those of us with our nice little suits on and looking all nice and everything, we had to come through our days of making choices too. So we don't throw a rock at anybody, because the Bible didn't say y'all have sinned. It says all have sinned. And our compassion today is that we understand what's possible for you if you just choose to go God's way. It's a bold choice, but it's a choice you will never regret. It's a bold choice, but it's a choice that'll give you fulfillment like you've never received. Listen, you can start on that choice right now. You can start making that choice right now. The wonderful thing about Jesus and the wonderful thing about God is that he does not require you to straighten yourself out before you come to him. Now, if he had, none of us would be in the house. But God is so good. He says, look, you come to me just like you are, with every hang up you got, every habit you got, all the things that are wrong in your life. He said, you come in just like you are. Because look, if I could straighten my life out without him, I wouldn't need it. So he wants me to come just like I am. And then he does something in my life. Now people, you know, have questions about being born again. What does that mean? Being born again doesn't mean your hands change or your feet change. And you heard people say, I looked at my hand looking. Your foot size ain't going to change and your head size ain't going to change. None of that going to change. What is going to change is underneath the skin. Remember I talked about the spirit? That spirit part of you becomes alive to God. And it becomes a part of transforming your desires. See, your desires now may not be in line with what God wants. But he knows that, and he'll receive you just like you are. Because he understands that if you let him have a chance at your life, with all the mistakes you have, with all of the hang-ups you have, with all, everything that's out of order, he understands and he knows that if you'll just let him have a chance, he'll transform your life. One writer described it this way. He says, a potter sets on with clay and molds clay. But while he's molding that clay, the clay becomes marred in the potter's hand. In other words, what the potter originally intended to do doesn't work out. But the potter never stops. He keeps working and keeps molding. That's why I got your attention today. Because the potter brought you here in the house. And that's why you're intense today, because deep down underneath the skin, you have a desire for better. And that better starts when you make a choice to make him Lord. Pastor, how do I make him Lord? I'm going to show you how to do that in just a minute. The scripture says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And what that simply is, it's so simple. If I just give up, say, okay, God, I heard what that preacher said. He said, I can have a life and have it more abundantly, fulfill life, a life without devastating consequences. Okay, God, I'm ready. I make you my Lord. I want to please you with my life. Turn my back on my old way of living. And from this day forward, I choose to live for him. Of course, the devil shoots a thought in your mind. But what about folk who knew you when you were in your past? Let me tell you about that. If you run a righteous course long term, God erases the memory of your misbehavior. That, That's the good thing about it. See, and when you run a righteous course long term, God has a way of erasing the misbehavior of your past from the minds of those who watched you. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. I want to give you a chance right now. I'm not going to embarrass anybody in the house, but I just want to give you a chance to learn from this painful situation, to say yes to God. I believe in the house there are champions for the Lord. God set you up today to bring you here so you can get a whole nother perspective on how God wants to deal with your life. I love you. I could have took this as an opportunity just to sermonize and get everybody all excited, but you see, I wouldn't do that because I wanted you to carefully, clearly hear me. I know where you are. I'm from the hood. Been through difficult times, but I know a God who can help you, who can straighten wrong things, take wrong things, straighten them out. Now I'm going to lead you in a prayer if you want to pray. You say, yeah, God, that's me. I didn't know all this was going to happen today. I just thought I came to Coco's funeral. God, I didn't know you was going to do all this, but God, I want you in my life. If you're here today and say, yes, Pastor, I don't know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pastor, I don't know for sure that if this was my last moment and I breathed my last breath, I'm not sure that I would wake up in the presence of the Lord. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm going to just simply pray for you right where you're seated. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. And at this moment, right now, you have to forget about all your friends and everybody around you. We understand life is real. Life is not like it is on television where you can flip the channel and everything goes away. You have to live day to day with your choices. So you say, Pastor, I want to make a better choice. I want to set my life on a new path. As you're praying for others, Pastor, pray for me. Would you slip your hand up quickly all over the building? While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying. I will see your hand, but more importantly, God sees your hand. God knows your heart. Hands are going up all over the building. That's it. Forget about everybody around you. I mean, this is a quality choice that you're making. Yeah, God, preacher said I can come to you with, just like I am with all my hang-ups. And God, I need you in my life. Would you just slip your hand up? I see hands going up all over the building. Are there others? Why is it so important for me to raise my hand, preacher? Let me tell you. Because the Bible says, if you are ashamed to own him, he will be ashamed to own you. But he also says, look, if you'll own him now, he'll start working in your life now. So that's why I said you have to be bold enough to say, okay, I can't straighten my life out by myself. I'm not going to even try to straighten it out by myself. But I want to give my heart to God. Are there others? By the uplifted hand. By the uplifted hand. You may already be in church. It ain't about church. It's about understanding whether or not you've given your heart to God. And listen, I'm not trying to get you to join my church. I already got 20,000 members. I'm not hunting members. I'm concerned about you. I want you to leave here having learned from this painful situation. So are there others? Are there others? By the uplifted hand. I see hands going up. Adults as well as young people, hands are going up. Are there others? Thank you, my brother. It takes a real man to raise his hand now to say, yeah, God, I'm going your way. Yes. Thank you, my daughters. Yes. Are there others? Pastor, include me in the prayer. All right, you may put your hands down. All together, now we're going to pray this prayer. Dear God, come on, everybody, even if you didn't raise your hand, everybody, pray this prayer. Dear God, I know without Jesus I'm lost. I believe your word. If I ask you to save me, you will save me. Jesus, I give you the throne of my heart. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you were raised from the dead. Jesus, I make you my Lord. Now, Satan, I turn my back on my old way of living. I'm God's property now. I don't belong to you now. And from this day forward, I choose to please God with my life. Now, Heavenly Father, fill me with your spirit and your power so that I can live a life pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, according to God's word, I have received Jesus as my Savior, and now I'm saved. Father, I want to live for you. So guide me. Give me understanding. Help me through this pain. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We'll give the Lord a hand clap, won't you?